In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Do you ever feel like you're about to drown? Like underneath you yawns the gaping abyss, and it's taken hold. It's trying to drag you down under the waves, drag you down to the dark, to the cold. You feel like you're falling. You feel like you can't breathe. You can hardly move. You can't speak. You feel the darkness surround you. And who's to help? You're afraid that the waves are going to close over you and you will be lost. That's the abyss. That's the fear that the disciples were facing that day. The storm was blowing water in their faces. It was forcing them down, down, down as the chaos took hold of them. They could not control where they were going. They could not make any headway forward or back. They were just trying to stay alive. And all that was between them and certain death was just some wooden nails of the boat. They're trying to keep above water, but their strength is waning. The boat is filling, and the storm won't stop. The abyss is ready to swallow them. And there is no way out. Have you been there? Jesus had sent his disciples into exactly that storm. He'd sent them out, away from the crowds. Immediately, he says, he sent them away from the crowds after this feeding of the 5,000. We hear from the Gospel of John that the people gathered there want to take hold of Jesus and make him a king by force. After they'd seen that miracle, they wanted to establish God's kingdom in this world, that Jesus would be their bread king, that Jesus would overthrow the Romans, that Jesus would finally make everything right here. But their view was too small. Jesus had greater enemies to conquer for them. And Jesus did not want his disciples, his church, to be wrapped up in only that. No, he sent them away from that way of thinking. He sent them away from that shore to the new shore ahead, the place that he intended them to be. He sent his disciples that way, even though he knew that there was darkness and a storm waiting for them. Even though he knew that the abyss would yawn under them. Even though he knew they could not stand against it. But that didn't matter. Because Jesus knew what he would do for them. Jesus knew what he must do for them. To save them from the abyss, from the darkness, to bring them all the way to the other side. That's why Jesus went up on the mountain to pray, to receive the strength for what lay ahead. The disciples fought all night long. It was into the wee hours of the morning, the last watch of the night, the deepest, darkest part of the night, when they finally were miles from shore and had no way to make any headway. They're trying and they're trying. Even experienced as they are, they can't fight the storm, and that's when they see him. It doesn't say that Jesus was glowing. It doesn't say there was any other light except the storm. So suddenly, they look up from what they're doing and they see in the flashes of lightning, here is a man standing on the waves, standing in the place of death. What can it be but a ghost? It wasn't good enough that death was waiting down below for them. Death has come up to them. Maybe they've already died. Here is death in their face. And they cry out in fear and terror. Because how can anyone be alive in this place of death? They scream. But Jesus simply speaks. Take heart. It is I. Do not be afraid. Take heart, he says. They had heard Jesus say that twice before, not long ahead of where we are. They had heard Jesus say, take heart, to the man who was lowered down from the roof by his friends, a man who was completely paralyzed, who could do nothing to save himself. Take heart, Jesus said to him, your sins are forgiven. And soon afterward, at a word of power, that man stood and walked home. Take heart, Jesus had said to a woman who had been bleeding for 12 years, a woman whom no one in the world could help. All the physicians and all the craft of this world had failed her. And yet, at the touch of Jesus' garment, the closest bit of his presence, instantly, she was made well. Take heart, Jesus said to her. Your faith has saved you. Not because of the strength of her faith, but because of the object of her faith. Her faith received the salvation God had for her, just as that other man received the forgiveness that God had for him in Jesus. And now he speaks to these disciples who are on the verge of death, take heart. It is I. But Jesus doesn't simply say, it is I, identifying himself, right? It's me, Jesus. Jesus says, take heart, I am. I am. That's the name of God. I am. That's the name that God revealed to Moses from the burning bush. Yahweh, I am. I am the creator of all. I am the one who made the heavens and the earth and the sea. It has no power over me. This is not a struggle. I am the one who has shut in the sea with doors since it burst out from the womb. When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors and said, thus far shall you come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed. Before Jesus, the sea with all of its power and rage is nothing more than a little baby squalling in its swaddling garments, angry because it's stuck in the crib. This is no contest of power. Take heart, I am. Be not afraid. Take heart, I am the divine warrior. The divine warrior who has defeated all the powers of darkness and death. The abyss was the underworld, the place of all the dark powers of evil that the pagan peoples feared. This was the place where God had conquered the sea. All the pagan gods put together could at best maybe put the evil gods in their box for another night, for another season. But here is the one who conquers and keeps them underfoot. I am victorious. I am the shepherd of my people. I'm the one who led them out of slavery, who led them out of their fear, where they were bound and could not escape. I led them out away from Pharaoh and his armies. I led them out from all of those evil gods who would deceive him. I led them through that Red Sea. I paved the way myself. And as they walked down into the depths of that abyss, they were not consumed or overwhelmed by the water. They made it a wall on either side. They went down and I shepherded them through that valley between the waves, the valley of the shadow of death. I led them through it and out of it. I am that God who paved the way through the abyss, who paved the way through death towards home. I am the one who has paved that way now and have come to you. Here I am for you, Jesus says. Do not be afraid. Peter cried out. We cry out. We cry out from exhaustion, from exasperation, from desperation, from fear. We cry, if it's really you, Lord, if you are who you say you are, you've shown yourself to be, then call me to you. Take me now. I don't want to be here anymore. I don't want to fight anymore. I just want to be safe. Be still. Be at peace. I can't do this anymore. I'll step out. Maybe I'll drown. Maybe I don't care if I drown. But I want to live like you. Come, Jesus says. Come. A single word from Jesus, a call, a command, word of power. And when that word hits Peter's ears, when it hits our ears, it penetrates to the heart. It awakens faith. Now Peter will walk over death, through death, and live. Peter will walk on the water, and he comes as called. And the abyss cannot have him, cannot swallow him, cannot reach him. Peter walks on the water. He walks the way that Jesus prepared for him. He walks the way that Jesus called him to. The storm still rages about him, but it cannot drown out Jesus' call to peace, the call to himself. Jesus' word of power, his word of peace, his word of life. Come. But Peter can't take his eyes off the chaos around him. And he stops listening for a moment. As Peter stops listening, his heart loses its hold on Jesus and sinks back down into the dark hopelessness of death and the abyss once more, dragging Peter down with it. But Peter knows now. He knows who this is that the wind and the waves obey him. He knows the name to pray. He knows Jesus. He knows the one Lord, the only Savior of all. Lord, save me. Lord, save us all. Peter's weak heart had lost its hold on Jesus. But Jesus immediately takes hold of Peter and he doesn't let go. Jesus will never let go of the one who calls on him in faith, who calls on his name. Because that's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus walked that dark and lonely road to Golgotha. What stands between us and certain death now is some wooden nails, and Jesus pinned to them. His nail-pierced feet walked that red road ahead of us through the grave. He paved our way out of the tomb with his own blood so that death could not claim us. He is the Lord. He is the I Am, and He is the one who calls us out. Anchor your heart in Jesus. He is the only solid rock in a world of chaos. Anchor your heart in Jesus, and He will tow us home, tow us to peace. And know that Jesus is with us. He's with us here, with us now. O you of little faith, take heart. Know that your little faith is enough. Your little faith knows who I am. Take heart. Your sins are forgiven. Take heart. Your little faith has saved you because it is anchored in Jesus. Take heart. Do not be afraid. Jesus is with us in this boat now. So here is stillness. Here, the storm and the devil's howling is silenced. Here, where Jesus is. Come. Come and worship the true Son of God. Come. Again and again and again. Come, hear His word. Here, He takes hold of you. Come. And live. In Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.